Americana with your hosts,
Benzie and Will.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, Americana listeners.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to our newest episode for 2017. This is episode number 2 of the year. Mm-hmm. I would say this is volume 2, episode 2, or season 2.
Volume season 2, episode 2.
Yes. So if you haven't tuned in to the episode previously, this would be a great point for you to go back, get a quick recap.
Yeah.
So you can pause now and come back.
Okay. No, I'm kidding.
And we're back. How have you been, Wilkie?
I've been good.
How's mommy life treating you?
Mommy life is fun and tiring. I feel like I'm like just on autopilot sometimes, mm-hmm. especially overnight. I feel like it's like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just like, all right, time to feed. Okay, go mm-hmm. back to sleep.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, everybody says to cherish those moments because there's going to be a time when she won't need you like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is nice to be like have her be so dependent on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, nice and also scary of having someone so, like...
There she is. If you hear her in the back, that's baby.
Yeah. She's a cutie. Oh, I can't get over her.
Yeah, she's very beautiful. And you've been doing great. She looks healthy.
Yeah, that's, like, one of those things where you're, like... In the hospital, we were just tracking her diapers mm-hmm. to make sure she's getting enough food.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like I go through diapers like crazy. Yeah. I was just telling you, like, we had to go up in size already.
Mm.
So she's not in her tiny newborn Pampers anymore. Oh, I'm so sad.
But she does get to she's going to get to a fun month range, which, like, between, like, 4 months and up when they can hold their necks up. So, like, they're fun to play with because they react. Yeah. They know you. They recognize you now.
Yeah, because now she laughs or, like, she'll smile. And I'm like, she has no idea what she's doing. And we get so happy. Like, oh, my God, look, she giggled. And she's probably just, like, breathing. You know, like. She's, like, and, you know, in the middle of the night, she'll be sleeping and she'll, like, start laughing, like, full out. Like, and I'm cute. Like, is she dreaming? Like, what can you possibly be dreaming about? Milk? Like, what do you know?
Right?
You know, I'm just like, or she'll look at me and I'm like, I wonder if she recognizes me yet. I feel like she recognizes my smell.
Yeah, I would definitely say so.
But I don't know if she, like, recognizes my face. I mean, I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any rumors, anything?
So, rumor rundown, I feel like I'm terrible. I feel like I've been so, I've been living under a rock, and I don't even check TMZ anymore, or Daily Mail, but I did watch the SAG Awards. They were filmed yesterday,
they showed them yesterday.
And I feel so far removed from that, too, because I haven't seen any of the movies. You have seen La La Land. Which is, like, the big movie this year.
Yes, and I typically don't see the big ticket movies. It is. There is something that they actually said during one of the trailers, and it was like, oh, they don't make movies like this anymore, and they don't. It's mm-hmm. very much a musical. It's very beautiful, like a beautiful scene. Even mm-hmm. the opening scene is incredible. Like, it starts off, and I don't want to give it away, but it starts off with you following somebody in traffic, in LA traffic, which we know.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible,
as Drake said, yeah. LA traffic has this city slow.
Of course, you had to throw in a Drake.
It had been a few episodes. It cut me some slack. Mm-hmm. But, it's like super traffic, and then you just start feeling like you're watching Rent. Like, it becomes a musical.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's not excessive. There's a storyline and there's dialogue, but there's a lot of really great, great, great songs. The soundtrack is
really good.
Yeah, I haven't purchased a soundtrack for a movie in years, and this is the first one I've purchased
really?
In a long time.
Wow.
Really good.
I have no qualms about musicals. I love them.
Yeah.
I know some people hate them because it's like they sing a song and then the next scene they're getting married. You know, fall in love in one scene. But to me, I think it's like really whimsical. Something about musicals that are just nice. I don't know.
This is very whimsical. This really does tug on your heartstrings. It brings up possibilities mm-hmm. and how one decision can impact your entire life, and mm-hmm. that'll make sense at the very end of the movie. But I love Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone together.
Yeah, they've been in a couple movies together.
Yeah, I think this is their third. They were in Crazy Stupid Love,
uh-huh.
and they were in
too.
Yeah, they were in another one, but I love them together. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be one of those movies that really solidifies them. I don't know, like, they're each pretty good in their own right, but this is, like, a major movie. Really? This one matched Titanic with how many nominations they got for the Oscars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan Gosling, I feel like Notebook was his, like, movie that, like, made him...
Like, unforgettable?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could say that.
And then Emma, this will probably be it for her, right? Like, the one movie, because... Easy A was kind of like a throwaway movie.
Easy A was like a cult, like it was like a sleeper hit.
She was in Superbad
too, Superbad, right? Also kind of solidified her as like a little bit of an really? Awkward heartthrob. Really, because I thought
it made the guys more,
Oh, we have a mommy duty situation going on.
Yeah. Oh my god, something has to go to the diaper genie. The diaper genie, actually, we should make a episode about that, like, what your mommy must-haves are.
Because, and what your probably not that necessaries
yeah,
are.
Yeah. I feel like we're jumping around here. We have a little guest coming in to join us.
You might hear her whimpering in the back. I think it's
little Ayla. Oh, my goodness. Hi, honey. All right. That's her little fake laugh. She
says, oh, that's a very real cry.
That's a real...
Listen, babies don't care about podcasts. And having to edit.
Yeah, they're like, me now. So the La La Land, but I really want to see some of the big ticket. Like, I really want to see Moonlight is another movie that's like
I
really
hear Hidden
good.
Figures is amazing. Hidden
Figures also. Yeah. So, but Hidden Figures actually got kind of snubbed for the Oscars, apparently.
They didn't get
nominated for... Best Picture or something, and some of the actors didn't get nominated, like Taraji P. Henson or something.
Yeah, I think that they got a few nominations. One of them, right. I want to say, is like Supporting Actor,
mm-hmm.
which was the very famous guy. God,
yeah, there's a couple
Indiana
people.
Indiana Jones. He was or not Indiana Jones, the guy who did He's there. But anyway, he got apparently nominated, and I think they got, like, a Best Director nomination. Okay.
There's a couple Oscar snubs this season. Apparently, they did a really big, like, flub with Amy Adams.
Okay.
They put her on the website. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a rival with her. But they had her on the website of the Oscars, like, all the nominees, and her name was on the list, but she wasn't nominated.
Oh, wow.
So, it was like people were congratulating her, but she wasn't nominated.
She wasn't actually nominated.
So, they had to, like, go in and edit it out and do a formal apology about that. And then there was another snub I read about with Denzel Washington, who did Fences, but he's also the director.
Mm-hmm.
So, he got nominated for Best Actor, but not Best Director.
Yeah, I mean, I will say there are a lot of times when certain snubs or offenses are like, mm-hmm. okay, well... Okay, so he doesn't have to get both in this particular case.
It's like, come on, actors are so narcissistic. I mean, like, it's great, like, mm-hmm. films are fun and, you know, they're time away from your life or whatever.
It's like escapism.
Yeah, but it's like the SAG Awards, for instance, like, it's actors giving other actors awards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so, I don't know, narcissistic a little bit.
Yeah, it's like,
know.
Look at this wonderful art. And when, like, we really think about it, we really hold... I was thinking about this years and years ago, probably over a decade ago, but I was like, our entertainers work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we make or break their career, and yet when we see them, we lose our minds, mm-hmm. and we cater to them, but they come to work for us.
Yeah.
They go to the movies for us. We are the ones who are paying their bills.
Yeah,
we make or break that career for them.
It's like the celebrities hating paparazzi. It's like, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be on, you know, magazines. You mm-hmm. wouldn't be selling your story for millions of dollars. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know.
There to be fair,
like,
there are some
hate relationship with actors or celebrities in general, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, don't bite the... We've said it in a few episodes back. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Mm-hmm. And the Kardashians are those who kind of recognize that. You know, there's only so much they can talk about as far as privacy goes.
Yeah.
There's only so much they can complain about as far as privacy goes, because it's like your whole... There's
life
nothing that you're basing
TV.
Your fame on other than the fact that people know you because you're famous for nothing.
Right.
You know?
Which kind of leads me into my other little gossip story. So, that's all about the SAG Awards. The speeches, some of the acceptance speeches were great. Mm-hmm. There's a Winona Ryder meme going on because she's, like, has the best reactions on stage, like, while Stranger Things won.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
which is coming back for season two.
Yeah, the cop does the actor who does the cop, he did the acceptance speech.
That's awesome.
And it was hilarious. Like, he was like, you know, a lot of them took their couple seconds to to talk about Trump and, mm-hmm. like, the immigration ban and all that stuff, which we'll get to in a little bit. But with the Kardashians, they are showing, so in Paris, the whole robbery scene or whatever, mm-hmm. so the camera crew was there, apparently, because the new commercials for the new season is, like, Kim crying right after being robbed. So I'm just like, are you kidding me? Can this be any more, like, I don't know.
There could be explanations.
It just doesn't lend itself to being very truthful and to their whole thing.
I don't know. I mean, it kind of, it definitely doesn't help mm-hmm. the whole theory that this could have been planted or a tactic or, like, some sort of publicity stunt. To get views, to get Kanye off of a show, mm-hmm. to do whatever they wanted to do, you know. Yeah. Creating their own narrative as Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it just feels so really, like, I don't know. It just feels really weird that yeah. the cameras were there.
I mean, we do know that they follow them anywhere they go. Yeah. So it's not completely far-fetched, but in this instance, it's like, okay, was the first person you called your cameraman?
Oh, get here because we're going to film the scene. You know, like, that feels so very, like, that should become second,
that's
right?
That's secondary.
Like, this is why, hello, this is why you're so... such an easy target is because mm-hmm. you're putting everything on TV.
Yeah, everywhere.
You
yeah,
know,
there's
it
no
just
privacy.
Feels, I don't know. Anyway, what was I saying that we would get back to?
The immigration ban.
Well, yeah. So Friday of this past weekend, Donald Trump signed an executive order banning six states, so six countries mm-hmm. from not being able to fly into the U.S.
Yeah.
And it also encompassed, like, people with visas. So
and residencies.
Residencies. Mm-hmm. So people who were, like, maybe visiting their country or coming back, they got detained.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, it's like somebody actually posted, okay, so somebody who, you know, whose father passed away and they had to go to the funeral mm-hmm. now has young children at home who can't see their mom for the minimum of 3 months,
home.
You know?
So
it's definitely a little disturbing for a lot of people. Others will find their reasons to justify it. And if regardless of what place you stand on, I would just urge everyone to just understand that we have to find unity somehow. I feel like this is probably the most divided that the country has been in quite some time, even despite the Black Lives Matter. All of that was heavy in its time, but I think that this is like the straw that broke the camel's back for the division.
It's crazy because yet it's divided and yet united in so many ways, because now every single airport, there's been massive protests. Even here in the Orlando MCO, there was a protest, and JFK, Newark, you know, they're all protesting it because everybody... You know, people are rising up and they're showing how much they care and saying, you know, hey, that's not what USA is based on, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and we never wanted to become a political post, but I think it's pretty obvious at this point, like, where we kind of stand on most issues.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that we're 100% on every little aspect.
No.
Not even with one another or even with every single thing that has happened. There are probably a lot of things in his immigration ban that to a logical mind might make sense,
right,
you know, but it doesn't mean that we're on board with the entire situation.
People justify it as, like, you know, Obama did that too, and he did it for 6 months mm-hmm. and Donald Trump is doing it for 120 days, so mm-hmm. it's not so bad. So it's like one of those things where it's just like, I don't know.
It's hard to know
a lot
all
of
the
opinions,
facts.
Right?
Yeah, it's hard to know all the facts because a lot of everything that we see is opinion. But that is what makes this a free country,
yeah.
that we can read all sorts of media, and we just hope that everyone is informed as best as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of go back to the more lighthearted topics.
yeah.
Back to the films, actually. Uh-huh. We were talking a few episodes ago about classic films, one of them being Star Wars, and how those were major movies. We were talking about, like, major things that happened in 2016, and the Star Wars films
mm-hmm.
was one of them. They are releasing Episode 8. Is it 2017? Do you know?
It's, yeah, they're doing it every Christmas, so every December. Not Christmas, but...
Yeah, around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for this particular one that's coming up, it's The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
They have confirmed a lot of the same cast will be there. So they confirmed that they are going to have... Luke Skywalker, of course, Mr. Mark Hamill. They are gonna.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they're gonna have Princess Leia somehow in there. Carrie Fisher might have filmed a few scenes, and we know that they can do a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
Adam Driver is still gonna reprise his role as Kylo Ren. They're going to have Daisy Ridley, who did Rey. They're going to have John Boyega, who's...
Oh, Rey, that's right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're going to have Finn, which was John Boyega. Oh,
okay, yeah.
Poe Dameron is expected to still be there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o is going to be there as well. Maz Kanata. So quite a few people that we are familiar with, C-3PO and all of that.
I was reading, there's a whole bunch of theories because the poster, when they announced the name, the lettering is in red, which is different as opposed to it being green. And so they were saying something about Jedi and how the word Jedi is not only like singular, it's plural as well. So it's so it could mean Luke, and also how Rey, you know, how we know Rey is force sensitive, and also Kylo Ren is force sensitive, you know.
Yeah.
And a little bit with the Boyega character, right? Because he wasn't there something that it was kind of like he was force sensitive. I don't know. I don't remember now. But so there's a whole bunch of theories. If you want to get lost in the black hole of, you know, Star Wars Wikipedia, they have their whole, Wikipedia.
Well, we do, there have been theories.
And it has a whole bunch of theories.
Yeah, one of the theories, to your point about it being in red, is Kylo Ren has a red lightsaber. Right. And the theory is that he was asking his father, spoiler alert, if you have not already seen The Force Awakens, probably tune out for this part, but as we know, his father was Han Solo, who he killed because he's like, father, I need your help. And it was almost like he's fighting the dark and the light.
He needed to go to the dark.
Yeah, and he needed to go to the dark side to fool them. And so the theory is that he's actually good and he's fighting the evil and it's starting to get to him, but he needed his dad to help him. That way he can prove to them that he's actually on the dark side when he's not. So that theory about the red text is very interesting as well. Apparently, a lot of the... It's going to center a lot of between the relationship of Rey and Luke, which the theory is that Rey is Luke's daughter.
Right.
But apparently, that's going to be kind of like the emotional entry point into the film, and it's going to pick up exactly where it left off.
Oh, that'll be nice.
It's going to be an continuation.
You know, and is J.J. Abrams directing this one or no?
No, Rian Johnson wrote and directed this version. Okay. Yeah, so I believe
I'm a big J.J. fan. I'm a big Lost fan and Alias, and he's the one who's directed. Yeah, I'm so... Isla has a lot of opinions about this, too, apparently. She's like,
right.
Not sure if she's gonna like Star Wars. Just kidding. She's gonna love it.
Well, something that we actually missed is that we were talking like, oh, what major things are happening here in Orlando? The Pro Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Pro Bowl.
I'm leaving that one up to you.
Was this past weekend. Honestly, I didn't watch it. Don't really care about the Pro Bowl. It's fun. But, and the Super Bowl's next weekend, I'm not interested in it either. I'm like a hater, and I'll fully talk about being one. I don't like the Patriots. I don't care much about the Falcons, and I'm not the biggest Lady Gaga fan.
No, that's right, she's doing the halftime show.
So I'm just kind of like, meh. I do have a tradition where I have to get the ice cream Carvel, the football cake. And so we're going to do that and maybe watch a couple commercials, but...
Yeah, that's what I do it for the commercials, and because if anything major happens, you don't want to be like, oh, I found this out on the news. Like, you want to be witnessing it.
No, I'll probably watch it, but I'm not like, oh my God. Last year I was really into it because I wanted Peyton to win.
Yeah. But it was it was his final year. He was retiring.
And I'm a big Peyton fan, so yeah, I was happy Peyton's about awesome. Last year. And Coldplay, obviously.
Yeah. A lot of people were very unenthused with Coldplay, but to me, they're so classic. And
my sister, she went to the latest Coldplay concert, and she's like, they've ruined all of my concert experiences because this one was so awesome.
I've heard that from other people. I used to intern at a local magazine here, and the owner of the magazine, he's straight up said it was like a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And he was like, you go there and people are crying.
It's
very easy to get wrapped up in that.
And listen, my sister's been to Beyonce concerts.
Oh my
gosh. She went to her, like, I Am Sasha Fierce. She's been to Adele.
Oh my gosh.
And she comes to me with, like, oh, we're going to Coldplay this weekend. I'm like, what? First of all, her husband is, like, the magic. He's, you know, I told you that he found, like, the Hatchimal. Like, he'll get things where I was in queue for the Adele tickets, and they sold out in, like, 10 seconds, first of all. He got tickets. Mm-hmm. He got the Coldplay. He's got the Formation. Like, they've been to everything.
That's ridiculous.
So I'm just like, wait a minute, you like Coldplay? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, no, I'm not, like, a big fan. And I'm just like, of course you're not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over here, like, salivating, jealous. Like, I'm so jealous of you and your concert series this summer. Yeah. Anyway, she comes back and she's like, best concert I've ever been to in my life. You know, the, it's, like, crazy the way they make the stadium and, mm-hmm. like, they're just whole, their whole show and their vibe, she said. So.
Well, our cousin went to the St. Pablo tour for Kanye, mm-hmm. one of the last few shows that he actually didn't cancel. Yeah. And he was up in Boston, and he didn't have any crazy outbursts, so it was a very standard show.
He got the good...
Yeah, he got the, one of the good shows.
He got the sane Kanye.
But we saw his Snapchats, and I'm like, this guy's going to scream himself hoarse. And for this particular tour, Kanye was, like, on a floating platform. Mm-hmm. So anywhere that you sat, you probably thought you were getting really close to Kanye, but he was, like, floating around the stage or floating around, the, I guess, the stadium. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, my God. And our cousin kept saying, like, he's right there. He's right there.
Yeah. No.
So everybody has that one person that you're just like, I need to see you live. I can't believe you're a human being that's in front of me, you know.
Which is funny how we said that we go crazy when we see celebrities. Right? And it's true.
It's true. We do. I mean, it's just crazy, our dynamic. Because when you stop and think about it, even, for instance, with this whole presidential thing, mm-hmm. a lot of what has been said is like, remember, this is a temporary job and he works mm-hmm. for us. But he's still president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a certain level of power. And these famous people work for us. Up to a point,
right,
and then their fame works for them, you know, and our opinion at one point doesn't really matter
too much.
Doesn't
really matter anymore. But, anywho, so, going off of all those, I feel like we were just a little discombobulated there a little bit, so I'm sorry, and thank you for holding out.
Yeah, baby us. Girl was not cooperating
there
a little.
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place, mommy brain.
Yeah, but it's okay.
But it's just fun.
What happens when you have a new member on a podcast. Sometimes you don't have...
I know.
A lot of gelling together.
I know. And I feel like my life, like, today I spent the whole day, like, binging on Netflix, and I watched, like, I've always been, like, a Friends fan. Like, I watched it real time back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then now it's on Netflix, and I've watched it here and there. Mm-hmm. But, like, today I was, like, I just saw, like, the whole first two seasons today. Mm. It was, like, just, oh, are you still watching? Yes, Netflix. I am still watching.
Still here.
Still here with the baby, you know.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. You're, like, watching Friends. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. So, actually, Wilkes, moving on, since you were watching Friends.
That's, I know.
Great segue. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Friends. Indeed. You know,
Not
the show, but your personal life and your work life, friends, mm-hmm. and how you maybe compartmentalize them.
Yeah.
Like, do they ever join? Do you ever have your work friends meet your day-to-day friends or your lifelong friends?
Yeah.
And how it is making friends...
As an adult.
Yeah.
It's very different than when you are kind of forced to be with people. Granted, we all have jobs.
Yeah.
So to a point, you're forced to be with someone. Mm-hmm. But when you're in school, it's very encouraged to make friends.
Right.
Whereas a few episodes back in 2016, it has to be like 10 episodes at this point, we talked about dating and how you probably don't want to necessarily mix the two, work and play. And so there are some people who would discourage friendships at work, whereas in, like, when you're in high school, you encourage friendships.
Right.
So how, in your opinion, you know, you're out of high school, been out of high school for some years.
Yeah.
You're done with school. You're in your career.
Yeah.
You're a mom. You're married.
Right.
What is your take on your current friendship? Friendships?
I feel like it's funny because, you know, in high school, or let's say middle school, because I still talk to a couple people I'm friends with from elementary school. Mm-hmm. And so it's different. It's so weird to have the friends that knew you when you were, like, I don't know, super young,
like,
in your, like, formative years, you mm-hmm. know, like, in elementary school and then high school. And then your friends in college, where my siblings would tell me, like, the people you meet in college, like, the people you meet in high school, you might not be friends with afterwards.
Because
you're very different from who you are in high school from college, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've really stayed friends Only a little, with like two really good friends from high school, mm-hmm. who I think they're my best friends.
Shout out to your friends.
I know, and they listen, they know they so are. Hi. And then I have friends from college, but I kind of drifted away from my friends from college. There's only like one that I still talk to a lot. Mm-hmm. And then now in adulthood, like in my career, I find that my career is very competitive. And so it's hard to make friends.
Okay.
And the friends that you do make aren't usually the friends in your direct career line, without getting too personal with what I do at work. They're usually in another career path than me, but we still work together, if that makes sense. So you find that friends become more of a network, right? Like, who do you know?
Yeah, it's not necessarily like a deep spiritual kind of connection, right, with like, someone. It's more just, what can I do for you? What can you do for me?
And, okay, I could pass these people to you. You could send some to me, you know, in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of a network, I think, as an adult. I think with you and your career, you become more friends and you have that. You're not so competitive. Would you agree with that? Like,
yes and no, because there is a certain level of competition, but I think that has more to do with people's personality. Mm-hmm. Some people are driven, and in my particular field, if you're not driven, you still have a job. Mm-hmm. You, however, we've said before, you work in the medical field. So, interesting question, or a question rather that you can answer that I can't. Mm-hmm. Thinking about like medical shows, for instance, I have a friend who is a sonographer, and she is like, oh, Grey's Anatomy is so unrealistic, and, you know, even, like, certain tools that they use, and the scrubs, and the way they say things, and the images that they use, they're so unrealistic, like, if they're showing an x-ray, that's not what it really looks like. So, would you say, in regards to friendship, shows like Scrubs, ER, General Hospital, those things, do they portray friendship, such as in, oh my gosh, Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's,
do you have that there?
Grey's is very realistic in the way that it shows competition, right? Like, Christina Yang, for instance, right? Like, she's like a shark, you know? And that's how people are in real life. Yeah, some of their cases are far-fetched, but they happen, right? They're not like, I don't know, they don't make up disease in Grey's Anatomy. But the diseases they do decide to showcase are very rare.
Very rare, probably dramatic.
And there's no, like, airplanes crashing into a hospital every day, you know? Yeah. Right? Like, they're very extreme in that kind
of
way.
Even in their methods of, like, for instance, curing and healing, it's probably not very general.
Right, like, you know, all the exceptions they do to help a patient, like, it might be a little far, you know, extreme, but it's a show, right?
Yeah.
You know, the on-call room isn't really where everyone gets it on every day.
People
go
to sleep.
Like, people want to sleep, so.
So would you say that the friendship portrayal,
Friendship portrayal is very realistic. I would agree with that, because a lot of it's competition, especially when they move up in rank, you know, and they become, you do find a person, and you see that Christina Yang and Meredith Grey are very different, right? Like, Meredith is in general and Christina's in cardio, and their personalities kind of mimic that, and it's the same with, they're in the same career but different paths, so they can get along.
Because they're not competing with one another.
Right, they're not directly competition, so they can get along very easily.
Yeah, one of our relatives, my cousin, your sister-in-law, she is in med school, and I always wondered about that, because in med school is different than working in a hospital, where you can probably, like you mentioned, meet people from different paths of life. In this case, this is a very specialized field, and everybody that you're working with will eventually be your competition.
Right.
So she has a lot of close friends, and I'm just like, when it comes time for you to start doing residency,
when they're matching into programs and they're directly competing against each other, it'll be a little touch and go there, I feel like. So she can kind of see how maybe the friends she makes here later on will become networking friends.
Yeah.
But as it gets closer to where they're going to be when they start their career, they're going to start drifting away maybe. But then come back together, I think.
And it comes to a point where, and this is probably true in any industry, not necessarily the medical field, but it comes to a point where you have to start making a decision as to what matters more to you.
Yeah.
Are you going to maintain this friendship, which may or may not be a lifelong one? Sometimes it's just for a season. Or are you willing to sacrifice that for something that could be really great or could mean nothing mm-hmm. to you? Are you willing to sacrifice it for a position? Are you willing to sacrifice it for another friendship, a relationship, what have you? Which is, those are the little nuances of adult friendships that mm-hmm. don't exist when you're young.
Right.
So that's why it makes it difficult as an adult.
And also when you're young, I feel like you're in the same...
You're all in it together.
You're all in it together, right? Like, no one's going to be married and be a senior, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's how it is sometimes. That's
very rare.
It's very rare. But now, like, moving into adulthood where, like, my best friends right now, like, two of us were married and one is just still dating, right? But, like, they're in a very committed, serious relationship. But even that dynamic is a little different. And or now I'm a mom and my two friends aren't, mm-hmm. right? So it's hard. Now, most of our conversations revolve around how the baby is and how I'm doing as a mom, you know, so mm-hmm. your life kind of changes at certain points, but I think that's more of a testament of how close you are when you don't now have to not be their friend because you're a mom, I'm a mom, and I'm like, oh, they can't relate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think now is the time for me to find other mom for and have other mom friends, maybe,
yeah.
and then kind of just... I have that now where I'll text another mom who's my friend and we'll, like, talk about baby products or something, you know, or, like, we'll share stories about our babies and mm-hmm. how what we're doing, right?
And you guys are on literally the same trajectory as far right. as, you know,
birthday and even that, right? So we can have that. And mm-hmm. I think friends become that kind of thing for you where, like, with certain friends, maybe you can relate with, you can tell certain friends certain things and then... other friends you kind of share other parts of your life with?
Yes. I definitely have experienced that in my life currently. I have some very dear friends who I'll always care about, and we've never had, like, we're not in a falling out, but there is a season mm-hmm. where they're married and they've been married for several years. They're going on their, like, sixth year of marriage mm-hmm. and they don't have children yet, but even marriage starts putting a little bit of a difference in your friendship because they're seeking other married couples
mm-hmm.
you're seeking other people who can either you don't find friends to meet the one, but you right. want to keep your options open
mm-hmm.
and so you do, as a single person myself, you start feeling a little bit like a third wheel. You don't want to. And I have friends who span all of it. I have one friend who just got into a relationship now, so I'm giving her privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Other friends who've been in a relationship for 2.5 years and it's like marriage is on the horizon. Other friends who've been married for years. Mm-hmm. Other friends who've been married for years and have a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm very close to all of them, but like you mentioned, there's a few of them who I'm like, you're not going to understand my thinking
mm-hmm.
because you have never been my age and single.
Right.
Or you're currently not single. Or you don't have a kid, so you don't know mm-hmm. what it means to be selfish right now.
Yeah, it's true. But I was going to say, now that you mentioned the third wheel, do you ever feel a third wheel with us?
It's different because Leo's my cousin.
That's true, too.
You know, so I grew up with him, and then you and I became friends really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I never felt like I had to accept you. I never felt like, oh, well... You know, like, I always, like, became friends with you. I feel like we would have been friends
even. I pay her to say that. No, I'm kidding.
She's literally holding a gun to my face. No, so, like, Leo's my cousin. He's not my friend. And it's not platonic between us. We're related.
Yeah.
We're family. Whereas you and I, obviously, it's not platonic. We're friends. But
right.
I also consider you my cousin.
Right.
Because you've married into the family. So, it's different because you're related
it's
to me.
It's true. I think it is funny now,
If we go out, probably. But when I'm here with you guys, no.
Yeah. Because I always wanted us, when we had, you know, people over, we went out. Like, I'm like, well, let's not be, like, that couple that makes other people uncomfortable,
yeah.
right? Or, like, you never want to be the friend who gets into a relationship and, like, forgets about your other friends.
Yeah.
And, like, it only becomes about you and your boyfriend
mm-hmm.
or you and your husband. And I think you have to actively try not to be that. I think.
Yeah. One of my friends, the ones who are in a committed relationship but not married or engaged yet, they are very much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to John and Marlene. They are like, no, we don't want to be like, you don't want to be that couple.
Yeah.
And they purposefully invite me out and like, she'll sit with me and not with him.
Mm-hmm.
Not to ignore him or anything or to make me feel a type of way, but because I'm friends with both of them individually
mm-hmm.
and together.
Together.
So they make it a point to not make me feel like a third wheel and I make it a point to not feel like a third
right.
wheel, you know? But I do want to respect their privacy. And of course, like, I remind my, like, we're not in a relationship. They're in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, No, it's again, these are things that you don't deal with when you're in teen, because you probably have friends who are dating, but it's so minor.
It's so, I don't know, how many people in high school were together, you know, your friends that were dating are still with them.
Yeah, or like they were dating for more than 2 or 3 months at a time.
Yeah, you know? I think, although when you're in high school, little things seem like the end of the world, you know, or like, oh my God, mm-hmm. of course they're going to be, whoever you're dating in high school, it's like, of course you're going to be my husband, you know, you think about that.
Yeah.
But then later on you realize, no. That would never happen. So in high school, I think even in high school you like compete with other people around you. So that's why the friends you have in high school, they feel like, I don't know, your best friends, that they become like family even.
Well, people say college is the... No, for me, high school was such a... It wasn't the best 4 years of my life, yeah. But I had so much fun. Mm-hmm. But what made it fun for me, which is actually leading to what I wanted to discuss with you, was that I had a very major extracurricular for myself. So in high school, at least in the way that my city was zoned, my high school collected a lot of middle school students. Okay. So people that I knew from middle school, we remained friends into high school. Mm-hmm. So that was like my old friends. But then I also had a bunch of new friends and upperclassmen because I joined marching band.
Right.
And
right.
I was in marching band all 4 years. So you're forced to hang out with them at the very minimum 3 times a week. You have your football events, games, competitions, trips. So those become your closest friends. Right. You have that one thing in common.
Do you still talk to a lot of them?
We don't talk on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but with the miracle of Facebook and Instagram, you can still keep up with their lives.
That's true.
And it was never a falling out, but I feel like the reason why it feels so heavy is because you've never felt that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's your first time, and because you're only 15, it's very easy to think in long term,
mm-hmm.
or you think you're thinking long term, but you're not.
Yeah.
Because you're so young. But now when you're approaching 30, you can look back and say that was 15 years ago.
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
It is crazy. It's crazy because I had a different experience with high school. I guess I had both, because mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, we had to apply to get into high school. It wasn't like you were only zoned to your high school if you didn't get accepted into any other one.
Oh, wow.
And like the one
So was it like a charter school?
No, like high school. There's some charter schools, but mm-hmm. I went to a high school, like a public high school.
Mm-hmm.
But you just had to apply. So it's like you had your own version of the SATs a little bit. You had to take a state test and then apply. And so usually you didn't want to go to your zone school because it was like the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when I went to high school for the first time, in Philadelphia, I mean, I didn't know anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one other kid from my elementary school, and then we weren't really friends in elementary school, so it's kind of like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there was that, and then when I moved to Jersey, it was like you. Everyone that was in high school in Ridgewood, hi. It was like the east side and the west side. They went to elementary school together. They went to middle school together. And then they were going to high school together. Because there was that one big high school. And then they collected both middle schools to that one high school.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came in as a sophomore, everyone knew each other from when they were like 5.
Yeah.
You know? So it was just hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard. So that's why the friends I did make, it was like, I think they were kind of used to making friends for life because their friends
were friends for life.
From fifth grade, you know, from mm-hmm. when they were 5. So that's why I think it was easy, maybe, for the friends I made to become like
lifelong.
Because
that's what they were accustomed to doing.
Right. And for me, it was like that in elementary school because I was in the same elementary school from kindergarten to 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So those friends were like, when I had to leave them, it was like, oh my God, how am I going to live? Mm-hmm. Like, I've only known these people for 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
And so when I went to Ridgewood, it was very much that. And so that's how I think maybe it changed my perspective of high school friends, because I heard a lot of stories about, like, I saw with my sister and my brother, like, they're not friends with many high school friends.
Mm-hmm.
Except my sister, who, like, married her high school sweetheart.
Yeah, and that's a bit of a rare situation. Mm-hmm. But I do have people, again, Facebook helps quite a bit, and there's one friend who lives in Paris now, but if she's in town, we'll try to grab coffee. Mm-hmm. Another friend who moved to Canada, but she used to live up the street from me, and we always call each other neighbor.
Yeah.
and another friend who does still live up the street. And when we see each other, we say hi.
And you went to your reunion, right?
Yeah, I did go to my reunion, and that was really special because I wasn't going to go initially. Mm-hmm. And they were going to go on, like, some boat, and it was, like, expensive. And I was like, I'm going to be stuck on a boat for 3 hours with these people. And then when they switched it to just a bar in town, like a club in town, I was like, I can leave when I want.
Yeah.
I went. I had a super warm reception, mm-hmm. which was rare because I always felt like I was the dorky smart band girl. And when I came in, these people were like, Liz Betty! And I'm like, I don't know your name.
Let me check Facebook real quick. Let me
check, confirmed. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I knew, of course, the prom king and queen who actually ended up reconnecting a couple years later, and they're married. They have two kids, which is super cute. Oh,
that's so cute.
Mm-hmm. And they were there, and they were hosting. And I knew some people that I had known, again, from band mm-hmm. and from elementary school. And it was special because I was like, it was good to... You were mentioning competition, and in mm-hmm. high school, there is a little bit, after you graduate, especially, because you feel like, I'm in good college, I have a good job.
Yeah.
And your 10-year reunion, I was really riddled with this heaviness of, like, how can I embellish my life to sound like I'm where I'm supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you hear everybody else's story, you're like, we're right there. Yeah. Or, wow, I'm doing much better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, but...
So.
With my high school, it's funny because they do a 6-month reunion, like, right after. They're like, we have separation anxiety in that school, clearly. Because the first reunion was 6 months, so it was when everybody was back for Thanksgiving break. And so we all went, and we, like, you know, we're talking about our first semester of college.
Yeah.
And then they do every 5 years.
Okay.
So we had our 5-year reunion. Oh my god, it's almost up for our 10-year.
Yeah.
10 years this year.
Oh my god.
Holy
gosh.
Crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. So our 5-year reunion, it was so fun, and that's where I reconnected with some friends who my current best friend. I don't know what I did without her in high school. Like, mm-hmm. we were friends, but not really.
But she reconnected with her boyfriend in that reunion, right?
Oh, no, my friend who's married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. She did reconnect with him in the reunion, which was hilarious. And mm-hmm. so now we're just kind of like, do we want to go to a 10-year? I think we got what we wanted from our 5-year.
We said hi.
Yeah, like, we made lifelong friends. We, like, solidified our friendship already. And mm-hmm. my best friend got her husband from it. So I don't even know if it's worth... What do we get from our 10-year?
Yeah.
No. But it is cool to see where people are, where you thought the people who were, like, the most likely to succeed maybe didn't, I guess. But then they're still, like, living their life and had a very much, or living a different life that they wanted from high school, but still living like rock stars.
They're still,
like,
okay.
I feel like all my other classmates, like, they're doing great for themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of my class. I mm-hmm. think we're all good. Great, even, you know. Mm-hmm. No, but in college, I don't know. I haven't stayed friends with a lot of college friends, so.
Yeah, for me, college was different because I didn't live on campus and I commuted.
Same.
And I was part-time for a lot of it because I was working and I was putting mm-hmm. myself through school. So I didn't have a chance to make lifelong friendships. There were certain people who I had multiple classes with,
mm-hmm.
so we would always connect during class or, like, while school was going on, but...
Afterwards.
After graduation, there's one guy who we're still friends, and but it's because of Snapchat and mm-hmm. Instagram. We don't talk. We probably hung out once or twice after that. But
and now, like, making friends as an adult, it's hard. It is hard.
It is hard. You mentioned earlier that you wanted to do, like, you wanted to meet other moms, mm-hmm. other couples, and once your baby's old enough, you can, connect with them on that level. You said you wanted to do certain events and all
that. Yeah, like Mommy Me classes mm-hmm. and music classes, and, like, it's cool because with Leo and his job, they're very much of, like, a community. Like,
yeah, they're
really
very family
close.
Oriented.
They're
yeah.
very family oriented, and so I've gotten a lot of friends from his job.
That's good.
Like, I love them, and, like, then there's another couple who we, like, have, you know, a couple dates together and we'll go out. So there's, like, a married couple from his job that we really get along with, and so it's been fun in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But in other, like, if we just went out, like, it's hard. I think it's hard to just meet people. I mean, I'm not that outgoing in the outside environment, I don't think.
Yeah, I have a lot of, and it's not to sound a type of way, I have a lot of friends from different circles. Mm-hmm. I have my lifelong friends that I met through church almost 10 years ago. Some of them have been 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. And through them, I've met other friends who became very close with. So that friendship ranges anywhere from 3 to 10 years from now, mm-hmm. 3 to 10 years ago. And those are like my closest lifelong best friends. But then at work, I have my close friends from work. And I'm not opposed to work friendships and to an extent work relationships necessarily, because I figure, and a friend of mine actually would disagree, but I figure you spend so much of your time with these people. My industry isn't as cutthroat as yours is. Mm-hmm. It helps keep you sane because of the field that I'm in. And it's people facing. Mm-hmm. So having somebody who understands you day by day, I have like my one work best friend, I have two of them, and they understand you. It's someone to have. Yeah, and I think you
need that, right? Yeah. Because then you like hate going to work.
But one of them, she's very outgoing, and that's actually another point that I was wanting to get your opinion on, Wilkes, mm-hmm. which was, in an adult friendship, it's so different than a teenage friendship for multiple reasons. This particular person who is one of my closest friends from work, she is 15 years older than me. Mm-hmm. She listens to different music. She has different beliefs.
Era, right?
Yeah, different era. She believes differently than I do. She lives differently than I do. Yeah. She's much more eclectic than I am. She's very outgoing. And I was not that way. And mm-hmm. I went into the job like, I'm just going to focus. And for the first 6 months, I didn't have close friends. And with her, she very much reached out to me, and now we speak every day, and I go out with her and friends that we've made at work. But when you're an adult, you stop focusing on the type.
Yeah.
You know, you stop focusing necessarily on what makes you different, and you focus on those little things that make you similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's really helped open my horizons as far as things that I didn't know I was interested or could be interested in, meeting people that I probably would not have met had I not given them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than in high school, where you kind of gravitate towards people who are like you.
Yeah.
And as an adult, you have such an open world view that as much as you want to meet moms, for instance, that's great, but meet a mom who's different than you.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably wouldn't do that in high school because you're a little afraid.
It's true. In high school, I think you're very much, it's like, I don't know, the popular kids kind of stay to themselves.
Yeah.
And, like, how you were in band, the band kids. It's like, I always think about Mean Girls and how the tables, remember how, like, everybody, the cliques sat together, and mm-hmm. it's very cliquey in mm-hmm. high school. And maybe in college, I kind of confront, because then there's sororities and fraternities, and they kind of stick together.
Or majors.
And majors, you know, because you have that to relate to them with. And mm-hmm. so, in adulthood, I think, at work, you do meet a lot of different people, and you mm-hmm. say, like, hey, we're, like, you know, you're seasoned enough where you're just, like, okay, we don't need to have everything in common. It's better to have different opinions how you and I do, you know, and it's, I think you become better. Your friendships are more of, like, becoming more open-minded, I think, when you're an adult.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to being in high school where you just kind of talk about the same thing and you like the same things.
And it's more about and who you dislike.
And don't get me wrong. It's good to have things in common. Obviously, you don't want to have nothing in common. You're going to have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have friends that will add something to your life, right? I think that's what you look for.
Yeah.
Now as you're older, because you just don't have time for, like, I don't know.
Your priorities change, and you don't feel this mad dash to have as many friends as possible or be popular.
Yeah.
It's more about quality. And in that same vein, you feel like the term frenemy becomes more and more irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to be friends with somebody for the sake of being friends.
Yeah.
You're either going to be friends with them, or you're either going to love them or you're not.
Right.
You're going to be honest with them or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not like, you're my best friend, but I lie to you. Or you're a close friend of mine and I'm going to betray you.
Or everybody's your best friend,
Everyone's
right?
Your
In
best
high school,
friend.
I feel like, oh, it's my best friend. Oh, it's my best friend.
That's how I am. I have like four best friends.
Yeah, and it's just like, now I think you kind of really know who your best friends are. And I'm happy to say that my sister is one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and you guys have become my best friends mm-hmm. because, I don't know, I just love you guys. But I've come to love, I mean, you guys, like, all Lil's cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, our little group that we are really close.
Mm-hmm.
And then my best friends from high school. And so,
those are different areas of our lives that don't exist when you're young. You kind of feel like all your friends fall into one group.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're an adult, I have my work best friend. I mm-hmm. have my family, who are my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then from my friends, I have my best friends. From my standard friends, you know?
and my best friend. And my other best friend.
And from all my best friends, I have my one best friend. So people say, like, a friend of mine, I was like, everyone's your best friend. And I'm like, well, when you get to a certain point in your life, they are. Because you have acquaintances. So you, at least for me, it's like I have acquaintances and then I have best friends. Mm-hmm. And rarely does someone fall in between it. Because, again, if I'm going to invest my time in someone, it's going to be someone who I really care about.
Right.
And I don't have the time that I used to anymore.
Right.
So if I can't invest time, if I cannot invest time in you, then this we can't probably call each other close friends, you know?
Yeah.
As mean as that sounds, but I hope you guys understand what I'm trying to say here.
What is your advice for, like, for people who are trying to get out there and meet friends, like, become social? Like, are there ways, like, do you go to a bar and just meet people, or do you, there's things where, like, maybe Facebook, because I've joined a couple Facebook groups now about, mm-hmm. like, mom networks, like, mom groups.
Yeah.
And, like, they do meetups in College Park and Baldwin Park. And I've been meaning to go. I'm just waiting for the baby to be a little older for me to, like, leave her with my mom. But is there, you know, something to your advice? Like, get out there and go and don't be scared if you really want to meet friends.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, of course, extracurriculars matter. Joining mommy groups. I did a blogging group and I met somebody through there that was really sweet. Mm-hmm. And her and I get along well. And you already have a common interest, so it helps break that ice.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, again, extracurriculars matter a lot. But there was a phrase or, like, an idea or a concept that changed my life. And I heard this back in, like, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
This was when I was transitioning out of one church to another. And the other church that I started visiting, I only knew one person. But he knew everybody.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just follow him around.
Right.
And I had read somewhere, and it was like, the person who you're looking at that you want to say hi to, they're just as nervous to say hi to you as you are to say hi to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a simple concept, but when you sit on it for a while, it changed my life. Because I was like, she's nervous just like I'm nervous, and so your nerves go away.
That's
and then
true.
I went up to her, and she was like, oh, hey. And she was so relieved and graceful or grateful for it that next time I saw her, it was like, hey, how are you? So.
Yeah.
I would encourage to take the initiative to approach someone and just recognize they're probably just as nervous as you are. And everyone appreciates someone else doing the hard part and breaking the ice, you know? And then they leave with, like, that person was really nice.
Cool.
That person was really cool. And more often than not, next time you see them, they'll approach you.
Right.
Don't be afraid to say, are you guys doing anything after this? Or, hey, at least in church, it was like every Tuesday they went out somewhere. And I was like, I'm going to go. Do not give yourself enough time to overthink it. If you just say, 1, 2, 3, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Then go ahead and approach that person. And I'm telling you, that changed my life when I realized we're all human. We all get nervous. And they're going to appreciate you being warm and saying hi.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. That's probably my biggest advice.
That's a good thing. I would agree with that. And I also would just say, put yourself out there a little bit, you know? Like, see coworkers, don't just go home. If they're planning something and they invite you, it is easy to say no, I'm tired or something, you want to go home, but it's like, go
make an effort,
put yourself out there. It's good to have friends and just be social, and it just fills your life with joy. I think
I absolutely agree. It helped me a lot at work. I was invited to, I was like accidentally invited to someone's going away party. And I went, met great people there, stayed a little longer with them.
Yeah.
And then I saw them at work and I was like, hey. And then I was invited to a party and the rest is history.
Yeah.
And we became very close.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would agree with that. Just put yourself out there.
Because I think our immediate response is always like, no.
I'm tired.
I got to be back here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know. But it's true, your whole 1, 2, 3, just go, I think that's a great thing to do.
If you've ever seen the movie We're the Millers, the male character, he does that, and he kisses the girl, he goes 1, 2, 3, and, like, he doesn't give himself time to doubt himself.
Yeah.
And so if you take that approach to finding friendships and approaching someone, you never know how wonderful this person can be for your life, and your friend is not going to show up at your doorstep.
Yeah.
You're not going to do the same, live the same day after day, and expect someone to come in and interrupt your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how things work. It's a very romantic, movie star kind of ideal situation, but it is not real. We like movies because they're unreal.
Mm-hmm.
So to that point, maybe you can be the one to interrupt someone else's life. and just be bold. People yeah. want friendships. People long for connection. We all fear rejection, and because we all fear it,
yeah.
it's a little bit liberating. You know, when you're like, everyone's afraid to be rejected. It's Let true. Me be the one person who doesn't reject. You
it's
know?
True. So. No, it's a really good way. It's a really good way to look at it, actually.
Yeah.
It's a good... Maybe I'll put that into my day-to-day, because I'm a very, like, soft-spoken, shy person. Maybe I don't come off that way. I hope I don't in the podcast. But I am, and I think it takes a little bit for me to get, like, warmed up, and then I'll be, like, witty. Mm-hmm. But at first, I'm just like, but it's good to think that they're probably as scared as I am.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's a great way to say, like, all right, then let me say hi.
Yeah. It helps. First. I met, through my cousin, when I visit her, she lives in another town, she's in med school. Mm-hmm. When I visit her, I've met a lot of her friends, mm-hmm. and I had to think to myself, we have her in common.
Yeah.
And they'll share a story, and I'll chime in, mm-hmm. you know? And so you always, with someone, have to have something in common. I was with an Uber driver, and we connected on customer service. Yeah. And so I would just... There's always something that you can pull up. And if the person's not receptive, well, you've then gotten you practice. Tried.
Yeah. You know?
But don't let it discourage you. I would think as an adult, everyone longs for that connection. Doesn't matter how long or how short the connection may end up being. It's always worth a shot.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely. So I like this topic. It yeah. was good. I think it's something a lot of people might struggle with, or a lot of people can agree with us.
Or identify with, mm-hmm. you know. We've sat here for an hour, but I feel like we can go on for another 2 hours talking about this.
Friends are just great. They yeah. just add so much to your life, I think.
Yeah. And it's something that, it's really sad when I realize not everyone has what we are blessed to have, mm-hmm. which is those lifelong friendships. So, what are your opinions? Do you have any, as our listeners, do you have any tips? Do you have any life-changing phrases yeah. that worked for you? Or...
Tips on how to keep friendships, yeah. even as you grow older and you might deviate in paths, but you still have something that is just a bond is so strong that it doesn't matter. And what keeps you close, you know, yeah. that's a great thing to talk about too.
Yeah. So you guys know where to find us. We're becoming more and more active on Instagram mm-hmm. now that the holiday seasons have come and gone.
Yeah.
So connect with us on there, email, Twitter, you know how to get a
Subscribe,
hold of us.
Subscribe and yes. please leave reviews. We'd love to hear what you think about us and how maybe you think we can better ourselves and yeah. better our podcast. 'Cause now season 2, we just want to be getting better.
Yeah.
I think we want to grow and just be maybe more, I don't know, confident in even how we talk on our podcast.
Yeah, so if you have even topic ideas mm-hmm. that you feel like, man, I really want to get their perspective on this, or maybe you disagree with us completely, let us know.
That'd be great too. Know. Want to hear about it. That's awesome. no shame.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much, as always, for connecting. This is probably one of the highlights of our week, is connecting with you
Definitely.
Guys. Hhopefully it's one of those for you too. Let us know, like we said, and we'll hear from or rather we'll hear from you soon, and we'll speak to you guys soon, very
yeah.
very soon.
Bye
guys.